And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 633. Continuing our team-by-team previews of the 2024 fantasy baseball season. We're in the AL West, and we're talking Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, team with a new coach, a lot of things. Shohei's out of town. Trout's healthy, technically, for now. A lot of questions to talk about. In order to talk about everything involving the Angels for 2024, got a friend of mine coming back on the show. He helped us preview the Angels last year. People know him as the Surly Lots of Things on Twitter, depends on what Vlad wants to call him that day. But you can find him on Twitter at Studster Kelfan. I think I got that right.
He did.
Daniel Preppis. Daniel, how are we doing, my friend?
Hey, thanks, Bubba. I'm stoked that you invited me back. Like I said, you made my New Year's when you reached out again. So I've been looking forward to it, and hopefully I don't drone on too much. So just cut me off if I start getting carried away.
It's all good. Like I've told some people, like I've done the White Sox previews. I told Mike Carter, like, just treat this as another form of therapy, or just like let it all out. We're all here to just be like, I did the A's yesterday. So like, really, like this is, yeah. We have a little more optimism than the A's. Let's put it that way. So yeah. we'll have some fun with that. But before we get into 2024, I do want to ask, all things considered in 2023, obviously no playoffs again. Shohei's gone. Trout got hurt again. Other guys disappointed. Some guys did better than you thought. What was your overall takeaway from 2023 before we get into 2024?
It was kind of a fitting, call it conclusion. I hope conclusion, right? Because starting anew to probably one of the most pathetic, disappointing stretches of any team relative to expectations, I think, in baseball history. I mean, we're talking, 13 of the past 14 years that they haven't made the playoffs. I mean, everybody last year, it was kind of like we were finally excited, right? There was finally things to get pumped about. And it basically was the worst year of any of it, not just because of the high expectations, but just across the board. From Rendon being the most worthless he had been since he signed the contract, which is saying something, yep. To basically fighting A's fans, not talking to the media, to the news coming out about Artie, which wasn't a surprise, but that he just wouldn't even pay for the guys from the World Series team to come back,
ridiculous.
You know, I mean, it's almost hard to believe, right? To everything, we'll get into the coaching changes, which that's kind of the one thing to dream on. But it was just, it was the worst of the worst. I mean, there's really no other way to put it other than it was a fitting end to one of the saddest chapters, disappointing chapters in history. If for no other reason than we had probably the greatest baseball player in history, mm-hmm. in his prime, right? The pitching season was phenomenal, and just terrible across the board. Everything was worse. The pitchers were the worst they'd ever been. The bullpen was the worst they'd ever been. The coaching was terrible. The hitting was terrible. The moves that we made didn't make sense. Constantly losing run games. You could really go on and on and on. And that was after, 6 or 7 years of trying to get excited. We finally lost Pujols, right? We were supposed to be free of it. So it was just so bad. And I think the theme or the attitude kind of starting anew is things just can't get any worse. And really that's the right way to do it, which is it's not a full rebuild, but under the circumstances, it's probably the best we can hope for. And there's no expectations. So that's what we have going for us.
The no expectations could be good. So we'll definitely talk about that. But let's talk about 2024. Like you mentioned, there's some storylines throughout the offseason that we can kind of lead into this. And you mentioned something that you outlined, the TV deals. I know there was a big deal that took place on Wednesday where a lot of teams, like this Amazon Prime deal with Bally's and all this stuff, and they're coming out saying that the TV deals in general for baseball, every team gets at least $60 million, which really makes you think about teams that don't spend money, right. And so on and so forth. But what are you seeing with this? You know, there was more than just a Bally's deal. There was authorities involved in the saga of the TV deal.
Yeah. As far as the TV deal, I think the best way to put it is this isn't going to affect the Angels until 2025. So we don't even need to get into the weeds other than to say that it's really just kind of noise at this point. It matters, right? It matters, Amazon streaming and all that, but it's not going to affect the Angels in the sense that some of the people were hoping that, you know, maybe this was the holdup for some Angels making some signings. You know, we signed Zach Plesac, who, if I remember correctly, was the king douchebag in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. So that's really on brand for us. So I do appreciate that. But I just think it's wishful thinking to think that now that that's happened, there'll be some kind of cavalcade of signings. There's teams in worse situations than the Angels that will affect them this year. I think the Rangers, the Indians, and Twins, I think those three teams are really going to be affected as far as what happens in the deal. So it's really unclear. But for the Angels, it's kind of a nothing burger, to put it mildly. So it's not going to affect anything. It's really what Artie wants to do. And I think as what we've seen from beginning in 2012, with the deal that was signed with Fox Sports West then, with Pujols, is he builds around players. That's the only thing he knows how to do, which is, let me sign a huge player. Let me market him. It works, right? It works. He doesn't build teams. He builds around players, which is one of 750 million reasons that he's the worst owner in sports, you know, maybe second to Dan Snyder. Which doesn't say much, maybe worse in a lot of ways. Yep. But so kind of to that end, that's basically really the kind of guy he is. So I just don't see him making any splash signings because there's nobody there that he wants to build around. Doesn't like spending money unless he sees a reason to do it. Certainly not for a baseball reason. That's why they've had so many GMs. So I just think for Angel fans to think we're going to get Snell, to think we're going to get Montgomery, it's not going to happen. I actually don't mind that they don't sign pitching because I actually think that's the one bright spot. Maybe there'll be some little signings here or there. Maybe they want to wait to see how the market goes. My kind of delusions of my one hope is that we sign Rhys Hoskins. I think that just makes a ton of sense for us. He's originally from California, Northern California. You know, California's a big state. I don't know if that works for a narrative, but I don't know. I'm not expecting them to sign anything because it really is, like I said, the great thing is other than, I want to say, Rendon and Drury, the whole team is kind of homegrown with the exception of Moniak and Ohapi, which, you know, still minors guys, right? We traded them Syndergaard to get it, so. I don't mind that they don't sign anybody. I don't think they're going to sign anybody, but that's kind of the state of the free agent market. To your point about the storylines with Artie, I think he just put the team up for sale last summer because he's just like, why not? Maybe somebody will overpay, but he doesn't care. He's in no rush to sell the team. He's waiting for somebody to give him an offer that blows him away because he's still kind of – nobody knows what's going to happen with the stadium deal. I don't know if you remember when we talked about last year that there was the FBI probe with the guy. And at the time, he had never been arrested or charged, right? Because there were rumors that maybe there were backhand deals, that he was leaking information to the Angels. He ended up pleading guilty at the end of the year. And it's absolutely wild what a douchebag this guy is. It's actually comical. If you go to the I think it's a DOJ release. It's crazy some of the stuff he pled to. Number one, at first he told the FBI that he wasn't expecting any money in return for basically colluding with the Angels. He admitted that he lied, that he was expecting about $1 million in campaign contributions. Angels denied everything, so make whatever conclusions you want there. But the funniest thing, like I said, I don't want to go too thing, is it also came out, among other types of fraud, defrauding taxpayers, that they were doing mock city council meetings before the actual meetings, basically practice, including trying to get from Angels PR team some zingers, literally use that word, zingers, to talk about in the meeting. He said that he leaked the appraisal range for the land. I mean, just absolutely wild stuff. It's hard to believe that the Angels don't have dirty hands, but, you know, it is what it is. He pled guilty. I don't think he's been sentenced, but it certainly sounds like he's going to go away for a long time. It's kind of a black box what's going on with the current situation, city council and the mayor. It's just unclear, but I think the takeaway is he's a terrible baseball manager. Everybody hates him. He does what he wants. It's never a good move, and there's no reason to believe he's going to sell the team anytime soon. So we just hope for the best within the hand that we're dealt, and that's where those low expectations come in, which we can get to.
See, Oakland A's fans, it could be worse, I guess. Maybe.
I think so.
Yeah, I get it. Because that sounds a lot worse than the garbage in Oakland, I'll say that much.
I mean, I'd rather have a passive owner that doesn't want to do anything than this guy that basically, when he does stuff, it's awful. And when he decides to not do stuff, it's the awful time to not do stuff. So he's horrible. Horrible. That's unreal.
Well, he did do something this offseason. They signed Ron Washington to be the new head coach, right, which we've seen good things out of Ron, especially when he's like just a bench coach, great defensive mind, teaches kids great things. He had a good run in Texas as the manager. So this could be a good thing. He's old, obviously very old, but maybe this is a thing. Do you think this is potential a plus in the right direction for the Angels?
Certainly. I think that's the thing to believe on. You know, we use the word narratives, right? Like it's just narratives, but there's a lot of reasons to believe that it's, you know, it's not just correlated, that it might have caused the problems. As an example, you take the pitching staff, we can get into the new pitching
go for it.
Every starting pitcher regressed across the board, surface stats, underlying numbers. The bullpen was terrible as usual. Everybody was terrible. And you have to blame the coaching. I mean, Nevin was an awful manager. Trout, you know, if you remember back in 2022, he was furious about the fact that he caught them tipping pitches.
Yep.
He had to tell Nevin about it. So it's pretty much proven now that Nevin was a shit manager, right? He didn't have a lot of experience or success, whereas we know Ron Washington has had success at the managerial level. He's got the respect of a lot of coaches. You like his attitude. He's a proven teacher, right? That's the one thing that's not a narrative. He's a good teacher, and teacher of the things that are important. That's what a manager is, right? A manager is the guy that's, you know, sets the tone. Mm-hmm. He's proven, right? We're not just dreaming on things.
Yep.
And the team that he's built, there's a lot of good about it. So the pitching coach, as an example, Barry Enright, former Angel pitcher, failed at the end of his career, but he talks a lot about that in a positive way. You know, failure is some of the best things that you can hope for if you can move through it, as you know. Mm-hmm. And he was the assistant pitching coach under Brett Strom. Can't ask for a better guy to learn from. So this is his first shot. As an example of comparison, Matt Wise was a bullpen coach, right? Didn't really learn under anybody good. Was clearly a terrible, terrible pitching coach. From the tipping of the pitches to it came out, Logan Ohapi said, I couldn't believe it that our pitches were on a script. I mean, you can't think of the – how fucking stupid is that? Like,
that's horrible.
It's all about adapting.
Not single A.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, if you remember with Reed Detmers last year, it was he had problems, you know, figuring out his slider, and he went down to the minors and he fixed it. Mm-hmm. There's a takeaway about that.
Yeah.
The pitching coach couldn't fix it. Yeah. The minors pitching coaches had to fix it.
It's a great point. You know,
and that's what I'm saying. It's not just correlation. It's not just a narrative. I think it's proven when you have the pitchers coming out and saying that he was terrible. You had Sandoval as an example. Yeah. I mean, look at Sandoval's numbers. They were atrocious. He regressed across the board, right? Anderson went back to being an even worse version of Colorado Rockies Anderson, which is really impressive. And for all the credit we give the Dodgers of fixing people, what was different from Tyler Anderson? He was with the Dodgers. Obviously, they have good coaching like the Rays do. And he went to the Angels. So what changed? Not him, the coaching staff. So that's why you can get excited. Listening to Enright, there's a great Q&A on The Athletic where he talks about the things that he's working with, the way he's looking at the pitchers. Because obviously the big theme is they just couldn't get through the second second turn of the lineup, not even the third turn. Innings was a huge deal with the starters. And it was just such a train wreck. And with the sole exception of Griffin Canning, which was a wonderful surprise,
yeah.
Skills, it can only get better. The other coaches that came on, Bo Porter, this is kind of an interesting one. I don't know if you remember him, but he coached the Astros for a
couple. He's got a history. Yeah, he's been
around. He's from Houston. Yep. I'm kind of laughing because the one thing he was talking about when he was hired, he was on MLB Network back in November, about how he's known Anthony Rendon since he was 13. Right.
Oh, Jesus.
That is narrative bullshit. And I'll tell you why that's narrative bullshit, right? He's saying, well, you know, I think I can get through to Anthony. That's not a 22-year-old, like, prospect. Yeah. He's what? He's 35.
Yeah,
he's
I think Rendon's who he is right about now. There ain't a lot of people coming in that's going to fix
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Rendon is a prick. You know, you don't – I'm not – there's video of it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Last year there was a lot of evidence between the fighting with fans to his interviews and just being a complete asshole. Yeah. Like, it was just unbelievable.
Oh, I was frustrated. My injuries hurt. You know, give me a break, man. That's called life. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that people that don't have money go through pain, but like, you're still making excuses. And he still approached it like he was entitled to not have to answer for anything, so nobody could feel his pain. I mean, he didn't say that, but that's kind of the gist you got. It's kind of like, no excuses, you know, good luck, Porter. But if Anthony's going to change, it's going to be because of him, you know, if he wants to improve. And I hope he does, right?
Be awesome. You want to
talk about an ADP that's kind of, you know, we got excited about it being in the 220. It's like 500 now, man.
Yeah, everyone's going up.
I was going to say, if you're in a DC or any kind of drafting hole and you're like, great, I'm screwed. There's no more third baseman. He's there. Yep, he's I mean, so if that's not emblematic of the low expectations of the Angels, I don't know what is. Anthony Rendon at 500 ADP, right? Yep. That you have to imagine, you know, that's not bad.
No, you know? Not at all.
It's got the character bias on that one. I think.
Character, injury, just all kinds of factors with Rendon, which is again, he's old for baseball terms, but he's not that old technically. So he'll be a fun discussion point here. But on the bright side, like I'd say, is the coaching staff with Washington and Washington bringing guys in is already a dramatic change for the culture of the Angels, which is going to be interesting to see how that, you know, goes with the rest of the team, obviously. And that'll kind of lead us into the players here. It's like, we'll start with Trout, and he's always been a great leader. No one can deny that. I would say maybe not as vocal as you'd hope for from a leader, but he's there. People know if Mike Trout's doing, he's more of a lead by example than not.
He's
kind of
getting
guy.
More vocal though. He's talking,
which is good, which is what he needs to do. Cause he's hurt half the season every year. So he needs to be vocal because he can't be on the field to lead by example. So the fun part, I guess, for this is when we're talking 2024 now, you know, in years past, it's like, well, do I want a second round Trout? Do I want to gamble on a second round Trout? The dude's going to be 31 this year. And he's got an ADP of 77 now. And I know the injuries. We can't deny it. Like, he played 82 games, 119, 36, 53, blah, 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 blah. Is a 77 ADP entice you for a guy like Trout who, I know it's the old cliche, though, when healthy, was still one of the best hitters in baseball?
Bubba, you know that was a rhetorical question. You're not an Angels homer, but a Trout homer. I mean, I like to think that every one of the teams that I've done that's lost in the last few years is because I had to take Trout. Vlad was teasing me. I think I showed you I did an OC where I just threw caution to the wind because I wasn't even ready to do it. And Trout was there at 69. And I'm like, you know, not only is that all kinds of nice, but that's a stupid price. It really is a stupid price because even when he was injury prone, it still only dropped to what, late second, early third. And now you're talking about him when there's that cliff of outfielders after what Chisholm and Nolan Jones.
Yep.
And with exception to maybe Brian Reynolds, who's definitely a steal and a good value, it's a no-brainer move. It's a no-brainer move, even for a homer like me. So obviously I had to take him. Yep. I think at this point, if unless you've got a reason why from a build perspective you don't take him, it makes remove the injury bias, because if you're talking about the sixth round of a 12-team league, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. You're never going to get somebody with that type of upside from a power perspective there.
And especially in like the OCs, we're going for the overall. It's the old conversation we used to have like with Buxton's of the world and stuff where, yeah, we know there's issues involved there, but if they do play 140-plus games, the ceiling they bring to the table is you're not going to find anywhere near that ADP ever.
That's a great frame of reference. You remember when Buxton was – when the hype really got big because he had done that big second half. And if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember. It was a couple years ago where he was doing well in spring training. He moved up to the second round. Yep. And that was knowing how injury-prone he is. Trout's at least shown the skills of being one of the best players in baseball history.
Well, and something you just said there, like how shocked would we be if Trout shows up to spring training first week or so, starts just hitting home runs every couple days, just like looks like Trout of old. Yeah. How high do you think the ADP climbs? Because like, it's going to.
Isn't that like the chaos theory or kind of the of course, kind of this is how it happens. It's when you finally give up on somebody when it doesn't make sense. That's when it blows up and people are finally like, never again, hence the price. It's not going to happen. And so logic would tell you that this will be the time that it happens because everybody's out on them now. So
100%.
I'm still finding, slivers of optimism. Trout will do that for you. So
yes, he's very, very good at that. Let's talk Brandon Drury coming in right now over the last 15 drafts or so with an ADP of 233, which I love that price tag for a guy with first base, second base eligibility. Back-to-back 26-plus home run seasons, should continue to play pretty much regularly for the Angels. What's your thoughts on Drury heading to 2024?
Well, it's a funny thing about price, to your point of why it's so good. Take last year, right? He was moving from Cincy to the Angels, ballpark change, right? And if you remember, I almost want to say that the price is virtually the same as last year. I mean, I don't know for sure, but that's kind of off the cuff, that's what it feels like. And he's proven that those skill changes were real, right? Yep. He's proven that they were real. His numbers got better against righties. He was the Angels' most consistent hitter. He lost third base eligibility. But I don't think the market, I don't know what it is, what kind of anchor bias, but probably about Angels bias and whatnot, but he was sneaky good. He got better than last year. So it proved that it was a real change. And he was hurt. He still missed some times. So he's a legit 30 home run bat. I probably would say of all the players on the team, he's probably the best pick across the board without question from both an upside standpoint.
Yeah. I find myself gravitating to him quite a bit in DCs right now. Like he's a guy I love to target. If for some reason you missed on second base, he's a great asset there. If you already have second base, you want a middle infield, corner infield, just that flexibility he brings. I love the upside of a Brandon Drury. And you hit on something there that I think we're going to notice from a lot of these players. The Angels to fantasy players are not a good team right now. So we see that with a lot of these teams that they have fantasy relevant players, but you get that ADP discount with a lot of them just because of the team they're on.
It's the everybody loves to shit on the Angels and it's deserved bias discount.
Yep.
What got lost in the shuffle, which clearly the early market prices evidence of, is what he did. There's no other explanation other than anti-Angels bias. They were a disaster. I mean, he had hot streaks. He was great. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it, but I think if you want a perfect example of how the market of, you know, Vlad talks about it, how this is the time that you take advantage of the market, because it really, there are so many mispricings in the market and inefficiencies. You've got a guy like Julian, who I love, by the way. I really like the skills. Going 30 picks earlier, right? Somewhat of a similar profile. There's a big difference. One's a platoon player and one isn't, right? One has downside from a K perspective. One doesn't. One has a higher floor and a proven track record. The other doesn't. One has two different types of eligibility, second and first, and first can get scary shallow.
Yep.
And he's going on average 20 to 30 picks later.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think we made our point, but yeah, he's the guy to jump on for sure.
Yep. 100% with you on that one. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that changes as draft season goes. And that's why I keep, I told myself I'm only going to do a few DCs or whatever. I just keep playing because there's just, the efficiencies haven't changed enough.
You got the bug, man. That, like the fun alone, not only just doing them, but being able to take advantage of those mispriced.
Yep. It's just, you see all these little pockets. So it's pretty good. A player that I have lots of shares of and that I am tremendously high on this year. I know we were pretty optimistic on Mr. Logan Ohapi last season, and then the injury kind of screwed that up. But if people kind of take a step back and see how good he was before the injury, then kind of give him a little grace period when he got him back, then when he got healthy again for the last month, how he finished, I think Logan Ohapi at an ADP of 161, at least in my opinion, is pretty, pretty nice.
Yep. I mean, he's climbing, but I think he is. I think what's also getting lost in the shuffle of his ADP is he's in that grouping, right? That grouping of Naylor, Ohapi, Moreno, Ruiz, which, and they're all solid, but none of them have his power potential.
Yep.
Not even close. And I was surprised personally that the power showed up that quickly.
So did I. Mean,
it really, you know, power went nuts in AAA with the Angels, AA and AAA. You know, you always take those with a grain of salt, especially at Salt Lake. And it looks legit. I mean, I think he legitimately, easier said than done at the catcher position. Homerism aside, there's no reason that he can't get to 30 home runs with 500 ABs. And you know, we're talking about Theis, who I love, but he's not taking more than 20%.
No.
They're going to ride or die with him. And hopefully he's healthy. You know, maybe he, you know, got some of the learning experience out of the way. But yeah, that's a great, great price. And I think you're right to scoop him up because maybe the price won't change all draft season. But I don't think he's a 220, 230 hitter. No. I think it's very easy for him to hit 250. Very easy. And there's an outside shot, granted he's not proven, that he's gonna out earn Cal Raleigh.
I was just about to say he's Cal Raleigh like 60 picks later or something.
I don't know if it's that much of it. I think it might be only 20 picks. I'm not sure.
It's probably shrinking. I can check.
What'd you say? Yeah. I think it's sleeping, you know, because you know that Raleigh's gonna get
it's only like 20 picks, 22 picks, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean your point's well taken that, you know, Raleigh's going to get the ABs. He's proven it over a full season, which is no small thing for a catcher, right? That's a skill. But he's also in a worse ballpark. And the power numbers are not that different. And I think Ohtani's got a higher ceiling.
Yep, 100% with you.
I think you're right. I wish I had more, but he's probably – I don't think it makes sense to take Moreno over him.
I'm trying to do everything come draft day to walk away with a Naylor Ohapi double tap. That's like my dream scenario. If it can work out, I've done it a couple times and I'm just like grinning when I hit the second one. It's just like, this is beautiful. So that's what I'm shooting for. These young guns are pretty sweet. Now I'll be honest. This name was the name I'm looking forward to your opinion for the most, because I am extremely high on this person and I've gotten a lot of kickback. I get it. But Luis Rengifo, I'll give my case. Tell me right or wrong. I know you'll be honest. The dude's going to lead off. The dude's got amazing eligibility, like flexibility in your lineup. The dude's got 20-plus home run power with 10-plus stolen base upside. And right now, he has an ADP of around 257. So tell me if I'm foolish, but I love Luis Rengifo in drafts right now. Like, I'm really probably too high on him.
You're not. And I say that as somebody who's missed out. I got to figure out what the bias is, but he's proven he can barrel the ball. We know he can crush lefties. He's a complete player now. it's not too dissimilar to kind of the Drury pricing in a lot of ways, right? Yes. Renhifa last year, I think, was like 280, 300. And you said, what's here this year? 250, 270?
257 right now, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing, mm-hmm. only to your point, we weren't clear what he was going to play last year, right? Remember, we talked about him being a utility player. I mean, he's still kind of a crap shortstop, but they have Neto now. Yep. I hope that Drury plays first, Renhifa plays second. Renhifa's going to play every day this time. They'll find a way to get him in. He's going to lead off. And I think you're right. I think with second base being what it is, kind of once you hit what kind of Jimenez and Stott, it kind of gets a little weird. I would rather have him than Gorman.
100%.
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm talking myself into it. I'm not going to argue with you. It's kind of in the same vein as Drury. He's proven the skills now. He's proven that he can hit the ball hard. He's proven that the home run to fly ball is legit now. He doesn't need to. He is what he is, and he's a 21 home run hitter with full time ABs. Yep. And you know, another one of those narratives. But Bo Porter is the first base coach, wants the Angels to run more. I'm pretty sure the Angels ran less than most teams. So if you want to give a little bump, if you want to bump up, you know, a handful of steals for each players, you really can't go wrong. You don't even need to pair him with anybody.
No.
I mean, what's the difference between Renhifo and Zach Giloff? I don't think there's much. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm a big Zach fan, but I get it, like, because I have more Renhifo. And the one thing is, I told people on other shows and for the listeners here, if they missed it, like, you look at his splits first half, second half, he became a more complete hitter playing regularly. He missed a lot of September, October due to injury, but like in July and August, he had 316, 327, hit 10 home runs in those 2 months. Like we saw what he can bring to the table. And one of the things I love, and I say it too often, is dude's going to be 27 this year, still finding his sea legs, basically. Like there's a lot of upside when I look at a guy like Luis Renhifo.
I mean, and we don't know what it means. It is a little bit scary. Didn't he have like some kind of a bicep rupture? I don't know.
And they said, because that was the only thing at first when his ADP was low, I was like, oh, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, fair, valid point. So I started I started digging.
You're not an idiot, Bubba. No, I don't think you're an idiot.
But I get it. Like, people are like, he's hurt. And because, you know, when you draft too early, you're an idiot. I get that part. But then I started looking into it. And they're basically saying he's ready to rock and roll for spring. Yeah. Like, he'll be there when they report. So that's all I needed to hear. Like, if he's there to report, it means he's playing. So we're good.
Have you ever seen the guy in person?
In person, no, just on TV.
He is jacked, man. He is strong. Like, he is built like a truck. And I didn't even think about that he's entering his prime. So yeah, he's still probably super young. I mean, doesn't he have the same price as like Gavin Lux?
Yeah, who coming off the ACL and everyone's been pumped for him forever, but he's never done a darn thing. Yeah, that guy.
Thank you. You made my case for
him. Yeah, I knew you were going with that one because, you know, as a Giants fan, I have my Dodgers biases too. Yeah. So, yeah, I got you.
I don't have any Renhifo. Obviously, I suffer from the same biases as everybody, but Renhifo and Drury all day long. Those are the two guys for sure on the hitting side. And Ohio.
Now it gets interesting, though, where I don't know if we're going to, like, I'm curious your thoughts on these guys because I'm torn. Taylor Ward, like, high expectations coming into last year after his 2022 season of 23-5, hit for 281. But last year only played 97 games with injuries, 14 homers, 4 steals, 253. You're getting them with an ADP of 223 right now, going around like Kerry Carpenter, Jared Kelenic, if you're talking outfielders at least. What are your thoughts on Taylor Ward coming back this year? Because he did take a step back.
I mean, let's put aside the kind of slow start from the skills perspective, right? It wasn't enough time to kind of read into that too much. That's one of the worst injuries that you can possibly have. That was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. He got hit flush on the face.
Yeah.
It shattered his orbital bone. He has an amazing attitude about it, but man, I don't care who you are. it's hard to imagine being able to come back from that, at least right away, and not have it affect you in the box. I don't know if you've ever, a little bit of a tangent, but there's a great book called The Chosen about kids that form a friendship where they're baseball players and the kid hit a line drive and hit the kid in the face and shattered his face, same injury, and they became friends. It reminded me of that. It's the scariest thing in the world. I can't imagine psychologically a harder injury to get over. And he's got an amazing attitude about it. But I just think he's a total question mark. I think the price is fine. But I honestly, I don't know what to expect. I hope for the best. But, you know, what was it clear that he, you know, before the injury that the, you know, it did seem like maybe it was a little bit of a mirage. But we know that the guy can hit 20 to 25 homers with a 260 average. We know he's going to get playing time. It's just hard to say how it's going to affect you.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I just don't really have a strong opinion on him, so I just kind of pass on him in drafts where it's I don't really know what to expect from him, but curious, to say the least. We'll see how that one plays out. Anthony Rendon, you hit on him earlier. ADP of 500 right now. To be fair, he has not played more than 58 games in the last three seasons, so he's got that going for him. What's your thoughts here in entering his age 34 season?
I mean, there's no way he's playing every day. Yeah. You don't get healthy from the things that, because they were bad injuries, you know, broken leg. There's no tension. I mean, when he was on the field the last time, when he didn't even show any power. Same kind of thing, different reasons, no clue what to expect. But you know that if he's playing, they're going to put him in a prime lineup spot. You know he's going to get counting stats if he's on the field. So I guess there's no other way to say it that at that price, relative to the ability to have a starting job when you're healthy, you can't ask for a better value, I suppose, because you also have the – nobody likes the guy as well. That's affecting it kind of out of sight, out of mind, recency bias galore. I mean, his ADP is 500 and he's the Angels cleanup hitter probably. So it's a no brainer. I think it makes sense to grab him in every draft. You know, I talk myself into it, but why not at that point?
Like as your third baseman or something, see what happens.
I mean, who else are you pick?
Well, so I was going to ask you. Here's just a scenario. I don't even know his ADP, but I know it's somewhere in that ballpark. But doing enough, would you rather have Rendon or Patrick Wisdom?
Rendon.
Okay, there you go. That says enough right there. Because I had Rendon was gone, but I had to suffer and take Wisdom earlier today in the draft in round like 41. So
here's a fun one for you: Rendon or Michael Busch.
Everyone's going to say Michael Busch, and you know that. I don't know, though, honestly, because I hate drafting prospects. I really do. It's just not my thing because I like stability, but then again, Rendon doesn't bring that. So I'd probably go Michael Busch, but I get both sides of the story.
And Busch will get your first base eligibility.
That's the other part. And the thing is, though, the Cubs have so many options, man. If he struggles at all, like they have no problems. And like, look at Mervis. Look at the, like, they have so many options if they need
it. They could still sign Bellinger. Still possible.
Yeah, no one would be shocked if that happened.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Hoskins with the Angels. He's been linked to the Cubs too. Like the Cubs aren't done, I don't think. So we'll see where that one.
I'm going to put no effort into this narrative, but the Angels' new hitting coach, because I'm really surprised that Marcus Thames basically had everybody. It was Marcus Thames. Are we surprised that
all they all hit
like Marcus Thames?
That's all you have to say, really.
Right. The new hitting coach, it's kind of like the Barry Enright thing. It's a hungry guy, assisting hitting coach. Or the Cubs worked with Bellinger. Go. So there is a little bit of a connection there. Hard to see the Angels signing Bellinger. You know, Boris, like everybody else, you know, telling, oh, you know, Angels should sign him. You know, I don't know. But another thing to hope on. But yeah.
We'll see. Mickey Moniak, he had a kind of coming out party last year at 280 with 14 home runs, but also struck out 35% of the time. So that was kind of the narrative on him. But hey, he was huge for me in some draft and holds that where you got him super late. And right now his ADP is around 400, and I have no problem taking him there either. But what's your like expectations for Moniak this season?
Well, I think that 6,000% hit rate probably had to go down at some point, which it did. I really think that my hope is, and I think it may happen, I think that him and Adele, I'm not going to say it's a straight platoon, but I think they're both going to get PT. So I think Washington's going to find a way to get them both in the lineup so we can get to Adele later. But with Moniak, it's you just got to keep hoping that it's nonlinear growth, right? But you know, the guy doesn't look like it's kind of like a Patrick Wisdom in a lot of ways.
That's fair.
You know, if you look at the profile now, he really shouldn't be playing every day, but you know, he gets hot, he gets in flashes, he's going to play. So, you know, again, he'll get PT, right? So it. What's his ADP, like 400, 420?
Yeah, it's right around 400, yeah.
Okay. No-brainer, yeah, because he's going to get PT. He's going to get a chance. That's all he's
strong side of a platoon. It's a good situation for sure. Let's just talk Joe Adell real quick, now that you mentioned him, because his ADP is 528. I'm in round 40 in three drafts right now, so I took him earlier today. I'm in the 40s. So Joe Adell is on my roster. Even Steamer thinks he plays about 94 games, so that's not just like – platoon player. That's a little more than a platoon player, I'd say, these days. So what's your thoughts on Joe Adell? Because again, it's like we've seen the minor league experience is great. He's only going to be 25 this year, still really young.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it feels like he's been around forever. You mentioned Ron Washington. You said earlier, I said it, what he does with young players, it cannot be like taken for granted. He's amazing with young players, just for their psyche alone, let alone teaching them things. So what's your thoughts on Joe Adell? Like, I'm not saying everybody run out, you have to draft Joe Adell, but are you expecting like an improvement from Adell this year?
It's now or never.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his last year. You know, hits the piss out of the ball. I think he had the longest home run in all the minors and majors last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Pretty good.
Greatest quad A player in the history of major leagues. No question about that.
That's fair.
But again, we kind of joke, but we say like right when we give up on guys, sometimes they explode, right? It's the old Milton Bradley thing, or Brandon Phillips.
Brandon Phillips.
To mind. So it's definitely hopium. It's definitely wish casting. There's no question, but the talent is there. You know, is it really that much to ask to hope he becomes like a Patrick Wisdom? I mean, it really wouldn't be a shock. It's just a matter of if he's going to get the ABs. And that's where you find the silver lining from the Angels from a fantasy perspective, which is there's no question that they're either the worst team in the division or the A's. I mean, it's what's going to happen. So why wouldn't you give them ABs? And DH is free now too. Don't forget that. I think it's same kind of thing. It's a free price. Everybody's forgotten about him. And he's actually still never gotten an extended look at the majors.
That's a big thing for me.
Yeah. I mean, Moniak strikes out close to 40% of the time. You know Adell can do that.
Yeah, true.
So if Moniak's given that opportunity, why can't Adell? And actually, you see a little bit better. I mean, the guy works hard. He got way better as a fielder. He was a joke as a fielder. So it's his last chance. Sometimes things work that way. It's, why not? Why not? It's kind of like the whole theme of the team this year. Why not?
Yeah, and they're all basically free. So that's the beauty of it. And here's another free one. Nolan Chenal coming with an ADP of 430. Got his first cup of coffee last year, age 21, 29 games with the big club because he got drafted last season, which is stupid to think about. Pretty good contact stuff, not a lot of power. So what are we thinking when we look at Nolan Chenal this year? Because I just walked past him in draft terms.
Well, I think he might have said it. You'll have to double check it for me. But I think he might have played in more major league games than minor league.
He played in 22 minor league games, 29 major league games.
I mean, he had what, like a handful of extra base hits over, you know, 1%. I mean, less than 1%. So I mean, you look at him and you look at the profile and there's no power, but he got on base a lot. I mean, clearly he's not ready. but he's not a terrible player. Certainly not a terrible player. He certainly belongs off the bench. Great pinch hitter.
Yeah.
I think he could use more minor seasoning. So I get it. Again, same point, free. What's his price? Like 450, 430?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
But I mean, I think the one thing you got to give him a little credit for, he's a hit tool guy. He's not a power guy. I mean, he flashed. He did get better at college, but he was a first round pick. Like, don't forget. I mean, it's easy to kind of look at a guy. I mean, he's not Trey Cabbage. You know, he's not going to start that 70 and not look like a baseball player either. Cabbage looks like kind of an overweight center guard.
There's a reason Cabbage, I believe, is playing in Japan this year coming up or something.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think he's playing somewhere over in Asia. I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly.
No, so, it's just unfair to judge him. It's just too early. Like I said, he's played more in the majors than the minors. So I think you really just have to have, part of the theme, zero expectations
for him. The dude went from partying with co-eds to starting for the Angels in like a 3-month span. I could give him a little benefit of the doubt.
Wait a minute. Why do you think he stopped partying with co-eds?
I mean, fair point. There's a lot of colleges in Southern California. You have a very, very fair point.
It's like a lot of the guys. I don't know what to expect, but I certainly think.
Well, there's something you said. I'd honestly, if I'm an Angels fan, I hope they put him in AAA. Like, let the kid go get comfortable. Like, let him go play down there. I don't need him off the bench here for a bit. Go get comfortable. If someone gets hurt, come on up. But
I think it depends on if they sign somebody.
100%.
If you sign a Carlos Santana, I could see that one.
Yeah, Rhys Hoskins even. Like, that would easily make it a shift down. Shortstop, Zach Neto. This kid looked – another. It seems like a kid because you do have a young ball club, all things considered. Mm-hmm. He'll be 23 this year. We've seen the power and speed. The injuries kind of derailed a little bit of 2023, but there were some fun expectations when he got called up because similar to Chenal, little different but similar, got called up really early in his career. Neto's getting drafted around 267 right now. What are your thoughts on him? Because he's one of like the last starting shortstop that seems like he's kind of worth a damn.
So I will say this. I kind of shit on him as well as I shit on Ohapi, but I shit on Neto more because I just didn't think he had the power in him. And it's a lazy narrative to compare him to a Dustin Pedroia.
Yep.
But the power was real, man. I mean, he's got legitimate power. And they were, by the way, not that this necessarily is a fantasy thing, I'm pretty sure the Angels record with Neto in the lineup, they were a playoff team with him in the lineup. For whatever that's worth, which is very little. But he's a stud, man. And there's no question in my mind that he can go 2020. No question. And I will say this, to your point, once you get at shortstop past – I want to say Trevor Story. I forget who goes after him.
Carlos Correa is going right before him, basically.
Okay. He is miles better picked than Carlos Correa. And I've looked at it a few drafts that I've done. I've only done about four drafts. Love targeting him if I'm patient, which I am not patient in any sense of the word. Because I like to grab two shortstops early. I just do because of that reason. But he is a screaming value on the board because he had a lot of injuries last year. The Angels bias. I don't think he's going to hit the bottom of the lineup. I don't know where he's going to hit. But, like, put that guy in the middle of the lineup, man. Put him in the sixth hole. I mean, he's got legitimate power. I mean, he's got more power potential than Renifo.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of growth. He's a stud. And I think from an upside standpoint, a Hoppy aside, probably one of the best upside shortstop after Trevor Story.
Yeah, because here's the shortstop going after Story. It goes with Willy Adames, but then he's got his ups and downs.
Sure.
But like Ezekiel Tovar, Jackson Holliday, Jeremy Peña, Vaughn Grissom.
No.
Then there's Rengifo, Correa, Neto. But then after him, even Crawford, Jordan Lawler, Bryce Turang, like – if Neto is who you say he is, and I think he's definitely better than he's shown, I agree the power is there, he should jump a handful of those guys.
From an upside standpoint and a skill standpoint, he should be going in the top 200.
Yeah, there you go.
No question. No question.
All righty. Any other bats we should be talking about here? We hit on pretty much everybody in the starting lineup for sure. Didn't talk. Oh, Trey Cabbage is still on your roster. I heard he went and played somewhere else. Roster resource might be wrong, or I've been proven to be wrong many times. So that could be there, but like they have Stefanik, they have Theis, who we've talked about before as a good backup catcher, but who knows? Any other bats we should be talking about?
No. There's nobody in the minors. The only prospect of note, I still think he's far away because he strikes out too much, is Kyron Paris.
Okay.
Still far away. They had some interesting international signings. We don't even really want to get into that because they were, they're 16-year-old guys. But we had a couple of good bats. But the farm system is bad by our standards, which is impressive in its own right. But the flip side of it is we've had the most homegrown talent on our roster ready in the majors in a long, long, long time. And they're all legit bats. Ohapi, Neto, now Renhifo. These guys are all, they could be studs. That's not bias talking. So it's the season for fantasy upside for Angels bats. This is our version of a rebuild. There's low expectations and you've got the one thing we can hope for, which is a new coaching regime.
Yep. All right, let's go to the mound here where you did mention earlier in the show that the pitching, there's definitely some optimism for. And we'll start with Reed Detmers, who we saw kind of two different Reeds last year. You mentioned how he got sent down to work on his slider, came back, looked really good for parts of it. The control got better as well. Strikeouts went through the roof compared to where they were beforehand. He's supposed to be the ace of the staff for now. And he's got an ADP of 232. So how are we feeling on Reed Detmers?
Okay. So he started throwing the changeup. I want to say maybe not 20% of the time, but he made a marked change to throw the changeup at the end of the year. I mean, we know he had ups and downs. The guy had so many two-strike counts, couldn't put guys away with the slider. Lefties had no problem with the slider. His changeup might not be an X factor from a K perspective. So maybe the profile changes a little bit, but look at those September numbers. I mean, if you look at them, they're elite. They're elite numbers. It's still a small sample, but that's what you want, a guy to end the year. September, obviously, always take with a grain of salt because of the love of competition. But he ended the year on a high note, and he was a different pitcher in September because he used the changeup. And he limited quality of the contact was poor for hitters. And we know he has the arsenal to add Ks. And again, you want to talk about kind of, getting upside guys. His price is a little worse than last year. And you were going from a horrible, one of the worst pitching coaches in modern history to a guy that just learned under one of the best pitching coaches in modern history. I know that I thought I was going to be more cynical doing this preview. Honestly,
I expected a lot more of it, but
no, I was going to say,
we're getting you optimistic here.
I'm so optimistic. That's what happens when you put the expectations in the toilet.
Well, and you look at the price tags, all their price tags are like pretty reasonable, especially if we're not even doing draft and holds. If we're doing a fab league where you can drop these guys. Costing you much anything. You mentioned Detmers in September, a 1.82 ERA, 2.77 FIP. He had almost a 19% K to walk in September. Like you said, those are numbers you just love to see.
How about this? Innings leader on the Angels.
Almost 150.
I don't see a reason because that's a big emphasis, right? They couldn't get through the second turn of the lineup. Mm-hmm. I'll have to make a bet with somebody, but I would not be surprised. And I think it's reasonable to expect him to get over 180 innings.
If he could do that at that ADP right now, like, holy crap.
He will. And again, maybe you get 10K per nine.
So that's a 200K guy potentially if he goes 180 innings. That's big.
Doesn't take much, man, for him. If he can start putting guys away, and it's a huge emphasis from Enright, is getting guys to two strikes fast. Demers didn't have that problem, actually. He just had a problem putting guys away. Yeah.
So if they throw the script out the window, he might be able to get guys out now. That's what you're saying.
It is out the window. It can only get better. I like to say, you know, no matter how bad things that can get, they can always get worse. Yep. We know that. That's true, especially in fantasy world. But, he's of all the guys that, you know, fell off the cliff last year, he didn't fall off the cliff. He just didn't have better results. He didn't grow the way we thought he was going to pop, right? But with pitchers, it's not linear. We've got reasons why it wasn't well. He's added a new pitch, and he's thrown it way more than he ever threw it before. His slider's kind of like he has always different kinds of sliders in doing this. We know he has the curveball. So there's a wide range of outcomes from him. But if you look at September and you believe in the changes – and you believe in the hitting coach, pitching coach changes at 240 in a fab league. I mean, honestly, who else is going around there? I mean, he's still got more K upside than tons of guys, you know?
I can tell you right now. So going ahead of him, starting pitchers, Lucas Giolito.
Oh, that's stupid.
Shota Umaga, Yu Darvish. Going right after him, Brian Bayo. Yusei Kikuchi, Christopher Sanchez, Charlie Morton, who's not even sure if he's going to play yet this year. So, yeah.
Easy. He should be I'll be more reserved on this one, but there's no reason he shouldn't be going around 200. I mean, if you're shooting for upside, he's a shoot for upside guy, for sure. Got it. You can see it.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't disagree with you. Curious your next thoughts here on a guy that talking about finishing strong and overall having a big season is Griffin Canning. We saw him, looks like he kind of took the next step as the season went on. He kept developing as the season went on. Again, he'll be 28 this year, not too old. He has an ADP of 280 right now. So what are our thoughts on Griffin Canning?
Well, I'm an idiot for not drafting him yet. I'm an idiot for having a blind spot for him. Because it's for me, it's the health bias, and I not for me, for everybody. I honestly am shocked, like floored, that the guy had over 120 innings. I thought there was no chance he was going to be a starter. And he now has the most swing and miss stuff on anybody on the team, more than Detmers. So he really is probably, I want to say, and again, he's the only pitcher on that staff that got better last year from before. Granted, he was coming from nothing, but he was a huge surprise. If he can just stay healthy, which is the question mark, a lot of skills there, man. I don't think there's a lot of guys with as much swing and miss stuff as he's got that performed and showed it. You know, you said Brian Bello, he's a good pitcher. He's got a lot of promise, but Canning already showed more skills than him. So I think probably the best value on the board from the Angels based on what he showed last year.
Yeah, and that's a name that ADP is going to come up because he's starting to get talked about a lot. So that one's going to slowly start climbing up. Him and Detmers wouldn't be shocked if they're going side by side here sooner than later. Now let's get into some more, I guess, potentially questionable ones. Patrick Sandoval, strikeout rate's not ideal. It dropped quite a bit this past year. The walk rate went up quite a bit this past year, which obviously in turn, his ratios went in the tank. But if you're looking for a guy that can eat up innings, he did do that pretty well. And he has an ADP of 453, which again, free. So what's your thoughts on Patrick Sandoval? Because he's just like a year or so removed from being this guy that we loved throwing out there, and we always kept saying if he just stopped walking so many guys, he's like got ace stuff. He went so far the wrong way last year.
I think at this point it's fair to say he doesn't have ace stuff. I just don't think he's shown enough skills to really be that much more, but he can definitely do better than he did last year. He can get back to who he was. So I don't know what to think. He's just been all over the map so much. We know he's got the one great pitch. He really hasn't showed that much. I honestly kind of am a little bit indifferent about him just because he's bounced around. He's done so many different things. So I think he is who he is. I think he's kind of he can be an okay pitcher. He can be an innings eater pitcher. But, you know, again, relative to price, it's fine. But I don't really have an I have no idea what to expect of him at this point, other than to say it really can't be worse than last year because he fell off a cliff.
Yeah, he really took a – I don't know if 180 is the right word on that one. He spiraled. So that'll be interesting. But talking about spirals, you hit on him earlier in the show, Tyler Anderson, who, you know, we saw just amazing stuff with the Dodgers. Expectations were pretty high. Let's just say it's fair to say those expectations weren't met last year. But now he has an ADP of 622. So literally, like, let me just say here. So there's 16 drafts on this ADP. He was drafted in all 16. He's in that world, though, where not everybody was drafted in every draft. So what are we thinking on Tyler Anderson? Because, again, maybe it's this the Sandoval line. He can't be worse. But is it to the point where it's like, hey, we should be taking chances on Tyler Anderson?
When you say he's priced like a destitute man's Kyle Gibson.
He's lower than Kyle Gibson.
That's what I'm saying. I said destitute man.
So. Yeah, he's next to Zach Thompson, and he's next to Julio Urias, who is maybe, you know, we don't know if he's even pitching this year.
I'm such an idiot for believing in him last year.
Yeah.
I remember talking him up. I mean, you know, like I said, he cannot be worse than he was last year. I mean, I don't want to talk about him because I think about that contract relative to what other guys have got. It's really depressing. But again, he was too predictable, man. He was too predictable. I think that he's a clear example of he rises and falls with coaching. And so hopefully, Enright's going to get a lot of credit, man. I mean, yeah. You want to talk about setup for success. It's not going to take much. He's going to get all the glory for it. So you just hope that he can eat up 5 or 6 innings and not give up more than 3-4 runs, and it's a success. So
what he needs to do, because, you know, you got these good pitchers, but they're still young, so you need this veteran to come in and just put the innings out there, which will be big, because that leads us to Chase Silseth. And the stuff, I think no one's going to argue how good the stuff can be with Silseth. It was a matter of maximizing it to get through innings. He kind of had issues there from time to time, but overall, a good kind of first foray in the bigs with the Angels. Right now has an ADP of 326. What are we thinking on Silseth this year?
I think you said it best. I think he probably still has maybe even more than Detmers. He's still got the swing and miss stuff, but I just don't think he's ready to be a consistent starting pitcher. So I'm not saying that, like, you know, that's where Plesac comes in to work with them, but I would say of all the guys on the staff that you might not see in the rotation all year that might get moved around, I like to think of him as kind of a real work in progress as a starting pitcher. So I don't know what to expect, but I do think he's got upside. Maybe he's not met for the rotation, but I'm kind of off him for this year. I think he was good last year because you could get him, you know, towards the end of the draft. Not that it's, you know, expensive. But I would say of all the guys on the board, value wise, he kind of doesn't move the needle for me.
That's fair. I don't think I've drafted him either. And it's a guy that I liked last year. I remember picking him up, playing the Fab game with him last year, because there's times for that. But in these early drafts, I'm kind of just like, yeah, I don't think so right now, man. We're gonna pass on this one. Right. Anybody else of interest, especially if Silta isn't a full time guy? You mentioned Plesac. He does not interest me. Anybody that wears puka shells in a video in his car doesn't do it for me. You said douchebag earlier. That's a nice way of summing him up. You have Jose Suarez, who we were all high on last year. That did not work out very well.
Yeah.
Is there someone else we should be looking at, especially maybe in a draft and hold as a late target?
Are you talking about from a starter perspective?
That could give us some starting goodness, because I know those guys are more long men relievers right now. But even if they're in the minors, is there someone we should be keeping?
The only other name is Davis Daniel. I don't really. He's a big guy. I don't know much to expect from him, but if you're looking for another guy that could get some starts, that should get some starts, don't know what to expect. He's a good guy to throw as a dart throw at the end of the draft when you're trying to look at some guys that aren't playing in Korea or Japan in the last two rounds. So,
all right, let's head to the bullpen here. Carlos Estevez. The roller coaster ride that was Carlos Estevez last year. He got you the saves you needed, but he hurts you in other aspects from time to time if you trusted that guy. ADP of 219 right now, so he's one of the last guys that technically has the job for now out there in ADP land, but it's still like he brings baggage with him. So what's your thoughts on Carlos Estevez this year?
Another guy that I think the price is exactly the same.
It is. Yeah, because last year it was kind of still like a question mark, but would he be the guy or not? So you're right. Getting that kind of discount.
Well, I'd like to toot my own horn and say I knew he was going to be the guy. I said he was going to be the guy. And he wasn't.
Yes, you did.
So go me. But yeah, I mean, recency bias, he was trash at the end of the year. Obviously, it caught up with him. He's not that good of a pitcher. You can hope that maybe the pitching staff can work with him, but the hope was that they'd be able to make him into a closer material. They gave him the money, but at the same time, they gave other guys money. Mm-hmm. I don't think he holds the role. I think he'll get a chance. He may get you some saves, you know, possessions, 9/10 of the law.
True.
So he may start with the role, but, there's another guy in that bullpen who I try to leave every draft with, who's to me a no brainer pick.
Is his first name Ben by chance?
It is not
his first okay. name. Okay. Because everyone loves Ben Joyce. So who is it? Is it Jose Siriano?
It is. Okay. It is. Ben Joyce is kind of, and understandably so, right? I mean, he's basically Nate Jones 2.0. That you can throw 100. His elbow is going to fall apart. He can throw one-on-one, but he's still raw. I mean, it'd be one thing if Nate Jones was missing bats, Ben Jones was Ben Joyce was missing bats. He's not your closer spec. And if you have him as a closer spec, then, you know, move off him because it's Soriano who's, I mean, I don't know what it is. Again, it kind of was a little mystery, came back from TJ. But Soriano throws 99, and he misses bats.
That's key for the ninth inning, yes.
I think of all of the guys that you do, as an example, I would rather have him, even at the same price, I would take Soriano over Brian Abreu.
Really? Yeah, because Soriano's got a 550 ADP right now.
I would say him and Merriweather are, not that I'm trying to do the Cubs preview, but I try to leave every draft with those two. No reason to take a setup guy, a spec guy, before that. There's just no reason you should be wasting picks when you can still get crummy starters, but they're still starters. When you can get guys like that. So I think Soriano's probably one of the higher upside spec guys on the board. And I'm not even talking about price. Yeah. I'm not even talking about price. Now, again, there's a little bit of a question mark, right? There's really no track record to speak of because he was TJ for most of the last couple of years. But those skills, man, watch his video, man. He's dirty. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best bullpen arms the Angels have had in years. Small sample size, but he is good, man. And again, could blow up, but he is the definition of closer material. And he probably will be one of the bigger fab pickups. And again, all it takes is 1 week of showing how nasty he is, and he's going to go for, what, like $200 in fab when Estevez loses the role. So forget about Joyce. Just take him off your board. Soriano is the guy you want to spec on. And he's from a what's the phrase you use with the – I'm blanking – whether they have a tenuous hold on the role.
Like a stranglehold? I don't know.
I'm just saying of when you I'm blanking. Not good with words.
I'm a caveman, so I'm not good with these things. But
least secure closer.
Gotcha. He's got job security is not great for him.
That, yes. So I'm really excited about him. I would say of all the pitchers on the board for the Angels, he's probably got already, meaning he doesn't need to even like consolidate skills. Love probably it. The most skilled pitcher on the staff, if you believe in the sample, relative to his role.
Well, I hope nobody that's in my leagues right now that's late in drafts are paying attention to this show, because I just put him in all of my queues as you were talking. So we'll see.
And once you get to the 400s, like,
that's my point. Like, I'm already in the 40s right now. Like, let's go. Like you say, he's a lot better than, is it him or Drew Smiley? I think let's take the chance on Soriano. Like, that's what you're saying. So,
or Kyle Gibson, right?
Exactly. Like, I'm with you. I get it. So, yeah, 100% on board there. Before we head out, we kind of hit on maybe some minor league guys. We said none are really that close. So, are we just thinking this is a year that the roster we got, barring injuries, is going to be the kind of the ride or die, barring, you know, injuries and maybe some signings still to come?
I think so. I mean, again, you never know. Guys will need to backfill, but I, from a prospect perspective, Schoenel, I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Nolan Schoenel. I say Schoenel, like it's almost like the brand of Chenault,
to me, he's the prospect, right? He's the number one prospect.
As I almost said, it's like, see who they draft this year in June, and you might be able to add them in August.
Seriously, man, because we've been good about aggressively promoting, almost too aggressive. Yep. Nobody to speak of. Like I said, Kyron Paris is kind of the one of note from a tool standpoint. You know, it's a shame Jordan Adams really fell off the map. So nobody that jumps out to me, but I'm also not the biggest prospect guy. But it's a pretty weak farm system. But that's okay. I mean, we graduated a lot of guys.
Yeah, like you said, you're calling it a week, but we talked about these players and they're homegrown, and most of these guys are in their mid-20s, give or take. A couple, like, they're not old. So, like, you pretty much called them all up in the last couple of years, and there aren't a whole lot of teams. There are some, obviously, that annoy us all that could continue to rebuild their farm system over and over again, but not many can. So that's just the odds and ends of the whole thing. All right, let's be realistic now. What are your expectations for 2024?
We'll finish higher than the A's.
Hey, that's fair. That's fair. I get that. That's fair. Because the other reality is the Mariners, Astros, Rangers are pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be tough. Like, your guys are going to run real hot to pass that up.
Yeah. And I think, not just because I'm talking myself into it, because I don't think he's going to sign anybody, but I'm comfortable with the staff going in as it is. Because I think everybody on the staff, save Tyler Anderson, you know, again, Sandoval's a question mark, but between Detmers and Canning, you've got two guys that are really high upside guys. And I think with Enright coming in and kind of a more thoughtful approach, to your point, like maybe not be scripted and predictable. Pretty sure that adapting to situations is an important skill in life, baseball, let alone life, or whatever way it goes. So it's the season of low expectations. Call it Angels preview. Under promise and over deliver.
As a Giants fan, I get that. It's more they just stretch it out a little longer to disappoint you. Last question I have for you here: do you think we see Mike Trout traded anytime this year?
No.
Okay. Because I was looking, like, he's a free agent. He's signed through 2030. That's a lot of money to trade. So the return's going to have to be ungodly, and I don't know who's going to do that.
The person, if someone's going to take Trout, they also got to take Rendon.
That's probably true.
I think what he has, no trade clause. He's signed here for life, and you know, I think one of the last things I'll say is interesting that Detmer said it. Another X factor for the pitching staff, which may help, I'm kind of segueing, is everything kind of revolved around Shohei, and Detmer said it himself, you know.
That's very
wasn't the usual point, schedule, you know. Surprised that he said it. He goes, you know. So, I mean, they're all looking at the silver linings. Like, that's another X factor, man. Everybody was excited about the pitching staff last year. Now it's the Dodgers, right, that not because of him, but the other guys that aren't going to be on unusual things. So you're going to get more innings from the Angels guys. You know, it's all about trying to get them more innings. And yeah, they could destroy your ratios, but I think it's a good situation for Trout. I think the pressure's off. Yep. The pressure's off the team.
Well, it's his team again now, because like you said, Shohei, everyone's got to love Shohei. There's nothing negative about Shohei. That's why it's like you said, it's surprising Detmer said it, but it needed to be said, because it's like they all saw it. And it was Trout's team before. Trout shared the spotlight with Shohei for good reasons, mm-hmm. obviously, but now it's Trout's team again.
Yeah, you know, and obviously baseball, of all the other sports, one player is not going to take you, and he was mm-hmm. the best player in probably the history of baseball, and yep. it didn't make a difference. So, you know, I think a lot of the guys, it can only get better. I think it's seasonal low expectations, and between the pitching, the coaching changes, the attitudes, guys want to learn. It's our version of rebuilding, and we've got a serious amount of talent. So notice we're not expecting to win. So maybe that's all it takes.
But this is the year, again, I sound like a broken record, but with as young as this roster is, you just want to see some positive strides this year. That's all you want to see. Like, you want to see positive strides in the rotation in a lot of these lineup guys, and that's something you can build off of going forward.
The one difference between years past is already built team around players, right? So now that this is the one year that it's not about marquee players. I mean, even Trout is, you know, he's got less expectations on him than ever before. Nobody expects anything.
ADP 77, folks, remember that.
Yeah, so I just think that the team itself is, you know, here I'll get carried away now. The closest team that we've had to this kind of team without any stars was the team in 2002.
I was waiting for it. Right in the heart. So Tim Salmon, JT Snow, D. Sarcina.
14. Yeah. I'll send you a message and say, "See, just like 02, we're ready to go."
That'd be awesome. Well, my friend, a pleasure having you on the show again. Again, we'll chat up some more throughout this early season, maybe in season, and see how things are going. But I appreciate you joining me, man. Really do.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
All right, everybody, make sure you check out Mr. Prepis on the Twitter at StudsterKelfan. And he's good stuff, and he's starting to ramp up his draft season. So go check it out. He'll be on the, you know, with FTN with Vlad and company and doing some other fun things. So go check out the surly attorney, Daniel Prepis. Thanks for joining me, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
Everybody, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 633, your 2024 Angels team preview. Catch you all next time.